Dear believing brothers and sisters who yearn for, who long for the better life. Both believers and unbelievers can have a defective view of what real faith looks like or brings. And the preaching of the Word of God is to try to transcend this, to give understanding when all around you it is not understood. We do this for unbelievers because so very often they attach to the visible church or to the believer and don't really ever get to know Christ or God the way He truly is. And we do this for believers because so very often they forget the inexhaustible love of God and they get focused on their disappointments, their depression, the distorted feelings of the world. Let me give you an example for illustration. This is a police exam. It read like this. I'm going to be very precise. You are on patrol in outer London when an explosion occurs in a gas main in a nearby street. On investigation, you found that the blast has burst up through the footpath, and there's an overturned van lying nearby. Inside the van, there's a strong smell of alcohol. Both occupants, a man and a woman, are injured. You recognize the woman as the wife of your divisional inspector who is at present away in the United States. A passing motorist stops to offer you assistance and you realize that he's the man who is on the top of the wanted list for armed robbery. Suddenly a man runs out of a nearby house shouting that his wife is expecting a baby and that the shock of the explosion has made the birth imminent. Another man is crying for help having been blown into an adjacent canal by the explosion and he cannot swim. Bearing in mind the provisions of the Mental Health Act, describe in a few words what actions you would take. The officer thought for a moment, picked up his pen and wrote, "I would take off my uniform and mingle with the crowd." What would you do under that kind of circumstance? Well, we're going to have today a message about what to do in the face of the impossible. You see, this section of Hebrews lifts the fog because there's so much misunderstanding about what we will face or may face, about who we face it with, and how we grow, and even our faith is strained into a better place as we face it with Him. There are so many today that teach that where there is faith, there's going to be wealth and health and prosperity. And I don't find that always in the Bible. In fact, there is a huge amount of Christianity in America that has tended towards glory versus cross. And it isn't always biblically honest. This chapter walloped me with its incredible impact. And I think for those that I witness and minister to who feel that when things are going against them, their faith is not strong enough. Somehow they've missed this chapter. Because it comes, and I hope it has an equal impact on you, in such a way that you'll witness miracles, but that is not the normal. That's what a miracle is, the abnormal. You'll see the Red Sea parted, as we read. You'll see that the walls of Jericho fall. Those are miracles. You'll see Rahab delivered. You know, I want you to hear the next part as well. "And what more shall I say?" the writer intones. I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. You see, there's a whole laundry list of by faith, isn't there? It's a broad brushstroke, imaginatively put, and it frames most of the Old Testament. You see, he didn't have time because there's so many of them. You can't really recount them in the short purpose of his writing. So what he's describing here actually highlights those who have had faith in a couple ways. But more so, I see the love of God that transcends all understanding. You see, because even as he highlights women, Rahab, or the women who've received back their children from the dead, presumably from Elijah and Elisha's time, it's the love of God that transcends. So let's take a look at that. In the bulletin, you'll see it on page 11. God's love transcends all understanding. Here's what I want to talk about. There's a higher explanation for my pain than that I do not have enough faith. How much faith I have? You see, God can and does wow with acts of deliverance. And probably hasn't happened too often to those who sit here. But in the biblical context and over thousands of years, it is rather evident God can suspend the natural or normal and do something amazing. In each case, like the dividing of the Red Sea, verse 29, the walls coming down, Jericho, the shutting of the mouth of a lion, you know, in Daniel, and even the overwhelming of the fire for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or perhaps even in the widow of Zarephath and the story there, all of which we've heard in most the recent year. All of those are stories of God's intervention, and for each it was a rescue, a deliverance of believers away from danger or death. But through divine intervention, God sometimes works invisibly. He brings about a practical earthly help. You'll see that in the message given by Rahab. You don't really see a miracle so much as you see the hand of God functioning. You see David conquering kingdoms. You see Gideon. You remember how many people he conquered the army with? God reduced the force from thousands down to 300. And they would overwhelm. That was more what we would call God's act of providence. He directs, but not necessarily beyond the normal. And the point of the writer here is that all these wonderful acts, both extraordinary miracles and ordinary acts of providence, come about by faith. He says, verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. Verse 31, by faith Rahab did not perish. Verse 33, by faith they conquered kingdoms. So God works through ordinary people as an extraordinary God. But sometimes all God does is support people. He sustains them through their suffering. Now look at verses 36 through 38. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in caves and holes in the ground. Or another way of putting it is that just because you trust in God doesn't mean you're going to always have comfort and physical security. You're not always going to be delivered. You'll see this in a couple of ways, because he says, I am with you even when you suffer. Now let's take a look so that we don't get this mixed up. True faith in God, as no guarantee, begins this way. You are attaining this presence of God not by yourselves, but by the gift of faith he has given. Faith itself is what holds on. And it holds on regardless and doesn't focus to get the miracle. And this is the misunderstanding I see all the time. People come and they ask me to pray for a miracle, and if they don't get it, they don't believe in God, and they don't respect me anymore, because they set it up wrong. There's something more to this text and to faith in action. You see, the other way to look at this is in the view of verse 39. All these people were commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. So what it is pointing to Christ. The point of your life is not comfort and safety, but to Christ. To God be the glory. And I can't tell you where that's always going to lead, whether to prosperity or to poverty, to weakness or to strength. In fact, sometimes people will say, well, God has limited himself because he has given the torturer the opportunity to torture and he won't intervene. But that's not at all true in the case of Scripture. In fact, in the surrounding text that we've been looking at, in Genesis, Abraham pawns his wife off on Abimelech, a king, and he almost commits adultery with her until God intervenes and he says, I kept you from sinning against me, therefore I did not let you touch her. God doesn't always lessen the agony of his children. In fact, it can be horrific. Can you imagine what it would be like to be sawn in two? We think so highly of Isaiah because of his messianic message. But according to legend, that's how he ended his walk here in life. Sawn in two. In fact, it's one of those things that happens to people of whom the world is not worthy. And I think you have to see both in the by faith column. In the one case, they escape the edge of the sword, verse 34. In the other case, they're taken by the edge of the sword. And you think about it in the New Testament. About the time Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them, and he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. And in the next chapter, you know what happens, don't you? The angel visits, releases the bonds from Peter, brings him home, and gives him life until later when Nero catches up with him and crucifies him. The point is, God doesn't always work miracles or even acts of providence to release us. And we shouldn't be looking in the wrong place. When Jesus said, take this cup from me, was it not taken because of weakness of faith? I want you to catch that it is an absolute travesty when people think that the reason things aren't going well for me is that I lack faith. You will not find that at this church. What we are going to say, rather, when we are weak, then we are strong. God's grace sustains us. What we are going to say is what the Apostle Paul says so clearly in Philippians, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. There's something in the words of God that remind me it all ties back to Jesus, just what you proclaimed this morning in your song. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It is by faith that we are saved. Let's see the love part of that, because it almost feels like, well, then God's going to abandon us. He doesn't care. But there is a love that transcends all understanding. It's beyond what we know. It's beyond the grave. Only love is the common feature of faith that escapes. You know, when you can have it all, God is better. If you're enjoying a good American life, don't lose God. And when you can't have it all, when it's terribly falling apart, God is better. Women received back their dead, raised to life. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. So what does faith believe in the moment of torture? That God's going to intervene and rescue me physically? Well, yes. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, if he wants to, God can. But we want you to know, Nebuchadnezzar, if he doesn't, we're not going to worship your gods. We don't just depend on God for miracles or providence. God is better. You see, both views look beyond life and death to God himself. This is the list of by faith. It means that we are utterly in love with God as we look beyond the grave. We press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So whether God hands me tenderly in the most difficult situation or it gives me over to torture, I still love him. He's my reward in Hebrews 11:6. He is the builder of the city I long for, 11:10. The treasure beyond the riches of Egypt, 11:26, and the possession that surpasses all others and abides forever. And that's a challenge, I think, in today's world. I think even in our small groups and Bible studies, our children's ministry, it'll be your challenge, Emily and Amanda, is to teach Jesus beyond it all. That's where faith goes. That's where real action lives. Is unshakable confidence that God is better than what life can give and what death can take from us. Years ago, when electric light bulbs were relatively new in their invention, what they had blown was clear glass, and it was rather a glare. You've seen that because you can still buy them that way, but most of our light bulbs come with a frost. When they first realized that this would be better to disperse the light, some of the old engineers thought it would be funny if they made a joke out of it and gave this as a responsibility to the young engineers who will rip their hair out trying to find a solution. They didn't believe there was one. But one man, his name is Marvin Pipkin, thought of a way to etch the inside of the glass with an acid and make it just what we have discovered. And it has become the norm for our light and light bulbs. Because he saw beyond. Those who love God more than life are God's gift. Those who have been in this list and are still around today, it might be your grandmother, it might be your friend. They are a gift of expression that God is using to remind you that he is still a loving and transcendent God. What does it mean that the world is not worthy of these destitute, unsightly, seemingly cursed people? Well, it's this. It's this, that they draw attention to suffering. And in fact, when you see suffering, there's only one place to go. It's where I go. To the cross where God himself suffers. I see Jesus when I see suffering. When I see people tortured, I don't look at their torture and their pain, I look at his. And I know God's love. I cannot miss it. It is so secure there that even if that torture should come to me or you, it will hold us in that day. Who would have thought it? The faithful sufferers are a gift to us and to the world. For it says in Hebrews 2, surely it is not angels he helps, but us, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he, Jesus, had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice, in service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Oh, the depth of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments. How beyond us he is, not just in knowledge, but in love. Let that take your faith into real action. Amen.